Amen. Now, Bill, I called him. I found out that you were going to bring biscuits and gravy, Linda, and I called him on the phone, and I said, Bill keeps missing the biscuits and gravy, and Joanne answered, and she said, he's sick. And I said, well, tell him I'm going to make him sicker. Tell him he's going to miss his biscuits and gravy this morning. I think you missed the last of the three last times we've had him.
I rolled out of bed. She caught me just about the time my feet were hitting the hill and grabbed me and pulled me back to bed. It's just, anyway.
Well, we're going to study the Shekinah glory today. Shekinah. This is how you say it in Hebrew, Shekinah. All right, Shekinah. 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 All right. See? Shekinah. All right. That's not a biblical word, of course. And we're also in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 9. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 3. Now, the word Shekinah is not a biblical word. In other words, it did not come out of the Bible, even though it is taught in the Bible. All right? I'm going to read you some things about Shekinah. And Ezekiel 9 and 3, this is where the Shekinah glory of God departed from Israel and did not come back. Didn't come back. He departed. All right? He didn't come back until John 1 and 14. All right? Brett, have you got an Episcopalian Bible in your hand? That's right, I think it is. Well, maybe. Ezekiel. Now, Linda, you've got it right there, don't you? Ezekiel 9? All right. All right, verse number 3, Ezekiel 9 and 3. This is what we're going to concentrate on this. Now, we're going to go on down later on, but we're going to go back and look at the word Shekinah first. Could you read 9 and 3 for us, Linda?
And the glory of God of Israel rose from between the guardian angels where it had rested and stood above the entrance to the temple.
All right, yours is different than that. What does yours say, Brett?
Mine says, and the glory of God of Israel was caught up from the cherub, whereupon he was the threshold of the house, and called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side.
All right. So we have anybody else got anything different than that? How about you, young man?
American, it says, then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been, the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case.
All right. Now, here the glory of God is about to depart from Israel. What are we looking at right here? What is the scene? God's judgment on Israel. God is saying that to them that you're ungodly buzzards, you're rats, you're snakes, you are idolaters, and you are haters of me, and now I don't like you either. Simple as that. I don't like you so much that I'm going to take my presence from you, and I'm going to let these nations come in and thrash you for a while. All right, now, here is the Shekinah glory, okay, up here. If I had a cameraman, we'd have a cameraman over here, we could look this, everything, but here is the tabernacle, and the Shekinah glory of God led Israel in the wilderness. Right? Shekinah, the Shekinah glory. Now, I told you that that is not a biblical term, but the theology, the premise is biblical, okay? Shekinah is a word that the rabbis used and coined later. All right, here we have the word Shekinah. And it comes from Mishkan, all right, Isaiah 51 and 9, is it Zechariah 2, 8 through 11? And Shekon, all right, and Ohel, Eskene, that means dwelling place. And then we have another word here, Kenad, Jehovah, the dwelling of Jehovah, he who inhabits or dwells, Exodus 24, 5, or 15 through 17, and Isaiah 57, verse 15, Shekinah, Shakayim, Shakayim, the one who inhabits. Now, by the way, that one, that word there is a masculine word, he who inhabits. But the word, what? Well, I'm just getting right there where I was going, brother. Shekinah, Shekinah is a feminine word. It has the idea of a mother hen, basically, nurturing its children. And more than that, but like a mammal, a mother nursing her children and sustaining them. And the word El Shaddai means what? El what? El?
The nursing one. What is it nursing?
El. Alright? El. That means God. God Shaddai. Comes from the word Shad. Alright? Shad means what? What does Shad mean? What does Shad mean? El Shaddai. This is a term for the Almighty God, El Shaddai. But it has another idea. And what is it?
All nourishing
one, yes. But what does Shad mean?
It's a breast.
Breast. Thank you. Breast. It has the idea of a breast. Now, a woman has breast. And with her breast, she nourishes her newborn children. All right? That's what she does. That's the idea of God. He's the Almighty, but He is the nourishing one. He is the one that hovers over and cares for His own. All right? Hover over and care for. Hold Him close to His bosom. Okay? And God said to Moses, remember, what was his statement to Moses? I would like to dwell with my people. So make for me a what? In Greek, it's skene. Make for me a tabernacle. And here we have Kanod, Jehovah, the dwelling, or he who inhabits. Skene, ohel, a dwelling or abiding. All of this is from the, it is a statement that God wants to dwell with His people. Okay? Now, let's go to Zechariah 2, 8 through 11, and Isaiah 51 and 9. Someone go there, and let's read that just a little bit. These are different places, and then we're going to come back here to Ezekiel. We're going to cover the Shekinah glory today, to where I hope you can understand what it's talking about. The Shekinah is the presence of God wanting to dwell with His people and nourish them. The Shekinah glory, that pillar of fire and cloud led them out of Egypt, didn't He? Alright? He led them out of Egypt. He stood between Israel and Pharaoh at the Dead Sea. Moses, by the power of that Shekinah glory, of the presence of God, he parted the, actually it says the Reed Sea, it doesn't say the Red Sea. The Red Sea came from the Septuagint, which was a mess translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. But whatever happened there, he parted the Reed Sea and the water stood on in. And if it was a shallow place, a greater miracle was when Pharaoh's army went in the middle of that. And by the way, Israel went through there on dry ground, didn't they? And then Israel's, or not Israel, but Egypt's army, Pharaoh's army went down in there and God drowned them. Covered them up. If it was only 4 or 5 foot deep water there, well, He covered them over more. He drowned them. The Bible says He drowned them. You know, that's one thing, when you come to the Bible, you better accept what the Bible says, not what your theology or what some interpreter said. I hear people say, I believe the Bible, but sometimes when their theology goes contrary to the Bible, then it's kick the Bible out and my theology is right. A lot of people don't believe that was a Reed Sea that they crossed. Well, it couldn't have drowned them, all this kind of stuff. They're trying to rationalize why it's the Red Sea. The word Red Sea is not there. It's Reed Sea. If you look in your in your English Bibles, if you look over to the right over there, or over to the left in the columns, it's going to say Reed Sea, because the Hebrew says Reed Sea. The Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of it, they said Red Sea. It was a mistranslation. Now people will go and stand on that and say, look here, you don't believe the Bible if you don't believe across the Red Sea. No, they don't believe the Bible when they say across the Red Sea. He crossed the Reed Sea. As simple as that. Okay? A lot of things in the Bible, you need to study the Word of God. Okay? Who's over there?
Isaiah?
Yeah, Isaiah. Yeah.
Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent?
Okay, now, the arm of the Lord, that's the power of Jehovah. The arm of the Lord, we know that that is Jesus. We know that that is Jesus, okay? We know that the arm of the Lord is Jesus, and that power of God, the Shekinah of God, is what it's talking about right there. Then, that was Isaiah 51. How about Zechariah 2, 8 through 11? Zechariah 2, 8 through 11. David.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will wave my hand over them, so that they will be plunder for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me.
Jehovah Sabaoth. The Lord of armies. Jehovah Sabaoth is what it says. Billy, you got that Bible with you today? Uh-huh. All right, that's good. Go right where he's talking about, Zechariah. We're going to have you look at that to see if it's not right.
Zechariah
2, 8 through 11. Go ahead, David.
Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord.
All right, dwell, dwell. Remember the word dwell. Dwell means what? Skene or Ohel or Kenod or Shekinah or Mishkan. All of this comes from that, which means to dwell. Okay? He wants to be. His presence, his power is there. Okay?
And many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you.
All right. Brother Bill, what have you got down there? What's it saying?
Can we read 8 through 11?
Well, just what does it say there where it says the Lord of hosts? What's it say?
For thus says Jehovah of hosts, for his honor hath...
It doesn't say Sabaoth?
Chapter 2.
2, 8... How come they missed the boat there?
I don't know.
That's supposed to be a literal Hebrew. They're supposed to bring it right over. Does it say Sabaoth there any place? Jehovah Sabaoth? Or Yahweh Sabaoth or anything, whatever they're going to use? Well, that's what it is anyway. You can look at it in Hebrew, okay? All right. Now, where else? Did we have any place else to go? Ezekiel 9, we were there. And then Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Are you there, Linda? Oh, there we go.
The Holy One said this, I live in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts.
Okay, can you start back over there, right, Joanne, right at the beginning?
At 15?
Yeah, at 15. Yeah, just start right there. Just read a little bit there.
The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity.
There's it. The high and lofty one inhabiting eternity. The high and lofty one. That's the word there that word Shekinah. What does it say in yours, Linda?
The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity.
The high and lofty one who inhabits Olam, eternity. All right?
King James says, was it 59?
Isaiah 50, what is it?
57
and verse 15, I guess, isn't it?
Well, down there in the bottom right.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. I'm up too close to it, can't see it.
He lives in eternity.
He inhabits who yeah. What's yours say?
Mine says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him. Also that is of a contrite and humble spirit.
Okay. That's good enough there. This one here is the one that inhabits, the God who inhabits eternity, okay? That's the presence of God.
Is that Hebrew? I mean, is that Hebrew?
Yes, it's Hebrew in the Old Testament.
They didn't catch that letter right
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that. What does yours say, brother?
Live forever.
The one who lives forever. The one who inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. God lives forever, yes. But he inhabits eternity is the idea. God inhabits eternity. And what we want to understand is that God wanted to inhabit, be with, dwell with his people, Shekinah. Shekinah came upon, after Moses built that tabernacle right there. And that tabernacle represents what? Two things. First thing, what does it represent? Jesus Christ. Second, it represents the church in the church age. All right? Then, later on, David wanted to build a temple, didn't he? David wanted to build a temple. Think about David's temple. He wanted to build a temple, and he got all the material, and God said, the prophet said, oh boy, this is going to be great. And then the Lord spoke through the prophet, and he said, no, David, you can't build the temple. Because you're a man of blood. You killed too many people. You're a man of blood. Okay? Well, so he told him, but your son Solomon will build the temple. So Solomon comes along. Solomon is the type of Jesus in the millennium. Okay? That's over here in this age. The temple area. And when the temple was finished, guess what happened there? The Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, inhabited and just absolutely immersed the whole temple with his glory. Shekinah. All right? Here we have the word say that right now. Shekinah. You read from right to left. Mishkan. Mishkan. All right? Ahel. That means skene in Greek, which means what we call a tent or a tabernacle. And then we have the word kanad, and then we have the word shakain, which means to inhabit. And it means he who inhabits. All right? Now let's go in the progression. Israel became so idolatrous, that God said that I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. I am going to leave you. You are not fit for me to dwell among. I'm going to back off, and my protective power, I'm going to allow these kings to come in, and they're going to disperse, carry you out of this land. You are going to be corrected for many years, and then I'm going to bring you back. Now, we have the Shekinah glory. Now, the Shekinah glory never was there in Herod's temple. They didn't even have the Ark of the Covenant in Herod's temple. Here's the Ark of the Covenant right there. See that? That's the Ark of the Covenant. Where it says here in Ezekiel 9 and verse 3. Let's look at that. Dr. John, Ezekiel 9 and 3. I know it won't. If you can get to that in a New York second. Ezekiel 9 and 3. That's in the Old Testament.
What happened today?
That's in the Old Testament. It's right after Isaiah and Jeremiah, you know. And right over there by Daniel. Ezekiel 9 and 3.
Then the glory of the of God of Israel rose up from between the cherubim.
Okay, hold on right there. That's what I wanted. Then the glory, the Shekinah of the God of Israel went up from the cherub. What's over there above the Shekinah glory was above the Ark of the Covenant. And what's up on top of the Ark of the Covenant? Up on the mercy seat. What's there?
Cherubs.
What are cherubs? Angels with wings. All right. The angels of the presence. That's what they're literally called, the angels of the presence, okay, of the Shekinah. They invented that term later because they didn't know what to say about it. So they just called it the Shekinah, the dwelling of the Lord. Now, when this happens here, the Shekinah glory of God does not come back. Never back to an earthly temple. Never. Did you know that? Never came back and dwelled in the temple ever that they built. There were several temples, weren't they? Several temples built. All right. We had Herod's temple. Now, the first place, Israel, who was supposed to be on the throne of Israel? A descendant of who was supposed to be on the throne? Of David. A descendant of David is supposed to be on the throne of Israel. By the time Herod comes along and he builds this fabulous temple, Herod's a type of the Antichrist, by the way, because the Antichrist is going to build him a temple in the end time. All right? But the Antichrist, this forerunner of the Antichrist is Herod, comes along, he builds him a temple. When Jesus is born, what happens? Now, Herod, who is he a descendant of? Esau's descendant. Yeah, he's Esau's descendant. That's who Herod is. He's Esau's descendant. Now, Isaac had two sons, didn't he? What were the names?
Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac had two sons.
Jacob
and Esau. We'll get this out straightened out here now. Young man, you got all this down. You'll have to tell me this later. All right. So we have Jacob, and we have Esau. Now, Esau was the firstborn, but God rejected him because he was an ungodly snake. He was a lost man. He never cared about the things of God at all. He was supposed to be the priest of the family, and all he wanted to do was what?
Go
hunting and shooting.
Well, that's the guy who gave him his birthright, right?
Now, he was a hunter of the field. He was a man of the field. He smelled like a goat. That's right. He smelled like a goat.
And he felt like a goat.
And his skin was like a goat. He had that musky smell. He was a stinker.
I must be in his descendant.
All right. Well, Jacob later on took the blessing from him. The trickster. All right, Jacob. He took the blessing from Isaac. And God changed Jacob's name to what?
Israel.
Prince of God. All right. Well, who's on the throne now when Herod builds the temple? Not Esau, not Jacob's descendant, but Esau. So Esau, the devil, supplanted God's man. Joseph was supposed to be on the throne when Jesus was born. Joseph. That's his Joseph. Joseph's lineage is in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. Caught him off the own. His lineage is in Matthew. Mary's lineage is in Luke. Matthew looks upon Jesus as what? The King of Israel. Okay? The King of Israel. Well, through Joseph, Jesus was supposed to inherit the throne. But the toad was on the throne. Herod. All right? Herod was squatted on the throne. He was an imposter. He was. Jesus was an imposter. So when Jesus was born, remember the wise men, they came to looking for Jesus. They knew when he was supposed to be born. In the stars, it said that there was a certain year when Jesus was supposed to be born. The Messiah would be born according to the book of Daniel. They knew when the Messiah was going to be born, the stars were going to line up just exactly right for him to be born. And what else? They knew exactly when he would ride into Jerusalem on the triumphant entry, the very day. They knew this. Anyway, these wise men, they came, however many there were. They were three gifts, so they say they're three wise men. By the way, in some ancient manuscripts, you'll even see their names. All right? They come in there, and they go to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is where? That's where the temple is. That's where the palace is. So they're looking for the king to be born in the palace. But no, the king's not born in the palace because there's an imposter in the palace. And then Herod asked them, where is he supposed to be born, this king of the Jews? And what did they say?
He's on the line, isn't
he? What? No. Hold on.
No, they said that
he looked for the scribes and they said, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Brother Dr. John. No. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. The city of David. All right. The house of bread.
Didn't the wise men have to go to Herod because they had to get where he was born from Herod's tribe?
No, no. They went to Jerusalem because that was the capital. That's where the palace was. But the king was not on the throne. The real king was Joseph, who should have been on the throne, but he wasn't. Herod was on the throne. He bought the throne through the Caesars. Okay? So, he said, where is he supposed to be born? Bethlehem. All right, guys, go down to Bethlehem. When you find him, you come back and tell me, and I'll go worship him. What was he going to do, Brett? He was going to murder him. They didn't come back because they were warned of God. And then Joseph was warned of God. He said, God told him, take my son down to Egypt. Take him down to Egypt until all this blows over. So Herod, now there is a letter in the Arco volume of Herod's reason why he had all the children in Bethlehem killed. Okay? So he had all the male children, 2 years of age and younger, killed. They were murdered. He kills them all. And by the way, in the Old Testament, it said that we would have, that would happen, that Bethlehem would mourn. They would mourn for their children because the imposter would have them murdered. Then later on, Herods were getting on the throne one after another. The Bible says in John 1:14, who can quote that in Greek? Anybody around here? Where's David? He's gone. He's gone making copies. What? No. Maryland. John 1:14. Greek. Kai ho logos sarx agenito. Kai ho logos sarx agenito. There you got it now. Now if you'd show up in Greek class a little bit more, you'd have this down, bro. Kai ho logos sarx agenito. And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwells among us. There he is. See, I knew he wouldn't be gone. David, John 1:14, Greek. All right, there we go. I knew he could do it. And the Word and the Jehovah flesh he became. Now we realize that Jehovah is the Shekinah. Jehovah is the arm of the Lord. Okay? Exodus 24:15-17. Did we go there? Exodus, Genesis, Exodus. That's the second book in the Bible, guys. Exodus 24:15-17. Are you over there, anybody? Exodus. That's just the second book in the Bible. Exodus means what? It's a Greek word, which means... What does Exodus mean? The Lakota for Exodus is what? Lakota. That's India. Okay, Lakota Indian for Exodus. For Exodus. 24:15-17. What is it, Lakota for Exodus? Hantayo. Hantayo, the way out. All right? And it means the road out. Exodus means ek, that's out of, just like that sign, ek it up there, means out of it. Ekhodos means the road out. The road out. All right, who's got that? Bill?
14 through 18,
you said? No, 15 through 17. 24, 15 through 17.
Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai.
Okay, the glory of the Lord, that's what we want. The Shekinah of the Lord. God, he was dwelling on that mountain. Okay? Now how many Mount Sinai's are there? 20-something? We don't know which one it is, by the way. Everybody will tell you, oh, this is what he's doing. Right here. This is it. We don't know. There's some things we don't know. Okay? But we know there, it was a real Mount Sinai, and the glory of the Lord rests on it. Go ahead, Bill.
The glory of the Lord rests. And Moses went up to the mountain and covered the mountain. And now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
All right. He'd already been up there a week.
It's 47.
47 days that he was without food and water. God sustained him in his El Shaddai sustaining power. All right. And even the animals on the ark of Noah, were sustained by the Shekinah of God. And so were there others. They sustained them. Sustained them. Okay. Now go to the book of Acts. The Acts of the Churches is what I call it. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. Book of Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Who's all of them? Who's all of they? Who's they? Who is it? The church. The church. The members of the church were all together because he told them to wait there. Wait there for me. All right? You go wait there. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all, the church was in one place, and suddenly they came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing breath of God. Ruach Elohim. Say that. Ruach. Ruach Elohim. What is the word for wind in the New Testament? Pneuma. Pneuma in the New Testament. We get our word pneumatic tools from that, all of that. Okay? Pneumatic power. It's Ruach in Hebrew. Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God. So now here, suddenly there came from heaven. Okay, what's the word for heaven in Hebrew? Hashemayim. The heavens. All right. Boy, you slaughtered the Hebrew and Greek today. He's usually better than that. All right. Now, what is the word for heavens? Heavens in Greek. Aha. A little harder. David, you know that one? Uranois. 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 All right, that's what it is. Okay. Then there came from heaven. Now we have the Shekinah glory that has left. Now, in John 1:14, we find that the Shekinah glory dwells in Jesus. And one time, a few of the disciples went up on this mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the glory of Jesus. Now, when he rose from the dead, he died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried in a grave, and then he rose, Anastasia. That's the word for what? Anastasia. Resurrection. Anastasia. Anastasia, the Russian princess, her name meant the resurrection. Okay? Then we have Jesus in his glorified body, in his Shekinah glory body. And we're going to go back to the book of Ezekiel. I don't know whether we're going to get all this lesson done today or not, but we're going to try. Okay? Now, here we have this violent, rushing wind. Genesis 1 and 2. Go to Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 1 says, Barashith bara, Elohim, et hashemayim v'et ha'aretz. We ha'aretz, hayatohu vavohu. Do what?
I was going to let you know, what are you making up, Brad?
Dr. John.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's right. That's right. What does verse number 2 say?
The earth was without form and void.
The earth became formless and void. All right. Viha aritz. Hahya. Hahya. Tuhu avuhu. The earth, she became formless and void. And then what does it say happened there?
Darkness was on the face of the
deep. Darkness became over the faces of the Elkanei Tahom, faces of the deep. All right. All right. Over the faces of the deep. Elkanei Tahom. All right. And then what does it say there? Ruach Elohim. Ruach. Okay, go ahead. Spirit God.
And Spirit of the God was hovering.
Hovering over. Suffering over. Mourning over. The face. Over the what?
Face of the
water. El Panei Hamayim. Of the waters. So here, and the Jewish Publication Society Bible says, and the wind from God. That's what it says. And a wind from God. It said that basically, I think, In your Living Bible, have you got? Are you there in verse number 2 in the Living Bible? What is it?
The earth, she became empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit God was hovering over its surface.
All right, and Spirit God, the wind of God, it says what, and a wind from God is what the Jewish Publication Society says, a wind from God. That is Spirit God. Spirit God. Okay? Now let's go back to Acts 2.
Yes.
Yes.
This sacred name Bible's got a very good.
What does it say there?
Now the earth had become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. But the Spirit of Elohim was brooding on the face of the water.
All right, that's good. All right. Now let's go back. It hasn't yet. All right. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter now. Now, we have Spirit God in the Old Testament, and we have Spirit God in the New Testament. Now, the disciples and the church members were already indwelt with Spirit God. We know that man is triune. And you probably wore a plumb out looking at this drawing. Man is body, he is mind, and the mind contains, or the soul is in the mind, and he is spirit. Okay? Every man from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all of them, when they were saved, when they asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins, and they were convinced that they were convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, they asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins. And when they did that, the spirit of rebellion that dwells in you, that leads you astray all of your life, gets kicked out. And then, Spirit God dwells in you. That's what brands you. Did you know you were branded? How many of you ever been a cowboyin? A cowboyin? Huh? How many of you ever gone out cowboyin? Brother Bill, you've been out cowboyin? All right, and the cowboys, when they go out there, they brand the cattle, they inoculate them, and if it's a boy cow, you're in trouble. Because that's when you get neutralized. And then they mark them. They brand them with a brand, and then they, according to what family they were in, they split their ears, and they're all earmarked. They're earmarked and branded and inoculated. That's what God does us when He saves us. We're inoculated from the second death. We are marked in the family of God forever, and we are marked for the resurrection at that time. Isn't that nice? Now you've got all that cowboy and Bill to just know about how you got saved. Okay. All right. And suddenly there came from heaven, Hashemayim, the heavens, or Uranoi, a noise like a violent. What did it say over there, Bill? In Genesis 1 and 2? There was a violent rushing wind there from God, and it filled the whole house. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. So what do we have here? We have Shekinah. That's what we have. We have Shekinah. We have Shekinah coming up on the church. Now, the church members are already indwelt with Spirit God. Okay? They already had Spirit of God in every individual there. But now we have something else here. We have the Shekinah glory of God coming upon them. And verse number 3, and there appeared unto them what? Flames of fire. What is the idea of the Shekinah?
The pillar of fire.
It is a pillar of fire. On each one of them. Distributed among them, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all actually immersed in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under the heaven, from every ethnic background, from every ethnos. We get that word from Greek, ethnos, ethnic background, okay? All over. And they had come there for the Feast of Pentecost, okay? And for the Passover and all this. Some of them stayed there. Some of them that were more wealthy stayed there. And they were speaking in the languages. Now let's go back in the Old Testament. So what happens in the New Testament just basically unravels the Old Testament sometimes so we can understand it better. What happened over here? After Noah landed the ark, and he told all mankind to do what? What's it say down there underneath that? What's it say? Scatter and multiply. What did they do though? Huh? They built Babylon. They built a city. He told them, don't build cities. You build cities, you're going to have a lot of problems. Don't build cities. Scatter and multiply. Live a nomadic life, and I'll take care of you. The scatter, don't get together. Go out and walk down the earth, is what he literally said. Walk down the earth. Tread down the earth. They didn't do it. We have a guy there. What was his name? What was the head of this operation?
Nimrod.
The head of this operation was old Nimrod. And Nimrod built a tower. Built a tower. Now, he wasn't building a tower. He built it, by the way. The tower was built. Finished. Perfect tense. All right? He built the tower. And after it was all finished, the tower represented a one-world religion, a one-world government, and a one-world ruler. He was a type of what? Huh? He was a type of the Antichrist to come. Now, we know over here in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38, we see the restoration of the nation of Israel. Okay? We see that. And we know that there will be a king of glory. And who is that king of glory? In a millennium. Jesus. Jesus. The old devil always tries to confuse, doesn't he? He took away the throne of Israel from the right lineage. The Messiah was still born. And then he used Herod to try to kill the Messiah. Tried to kill all the children in Bethlehem. Jesus was raised in Nazareth because it said a root out of dry ground. The word Nazar means root. Nazareth means root. All right. All of this... Marilyn, could you shut that thing off? It's out. It's overtaking me over here. Throw it out the door or something.
I turned it off.
Okay, good. All right. We see over here on the day of Pentecost now We see something repeated over and over again. We see some truths repeated in God's Word. We have Shekinah glory coming to take possession of God's church. Right there. The Shekinah glory took possession of that tabernacle. The Shekinah glory took possession of Solomon's temple. Now the Shekinah glory takes possession of the church. Okay? And that's what happened. And the miracle here, the languages were confused over here. There's 2,796 basic languages, groups. Do you know that? And thousands of dialects. 2,796 basic language groups in the world. You know that in the state of California, the Hamites, as we studied the book of Genesis, we find out the Hamites' languages were more confused. And by the way, let's turn this thing over. We find out that the Hamites' languages were more confused than the other people because we find out that the Hamites would go out to the world and they would found the basic nations. And their languages were more confused. And in the state of California, the American Indians here, which are Hamites, were speaking more than 3,000 languages in the state of California alone. Okay? Did you know that? And some of the languages were... Some of the languages, there was a masculine language and a feminine language. Men spoke one language and the women spoke the other. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to communicate languages with women and men. They can get married without ever knowing each other's language. They have the communication, the language of love. All right. And I've heard people say, well, how in the world did they understand what's going on? I said, they figured it out.
There were 3,000 languages,
but there was a universal language. Yeah. That all the Indians knew that the took the white man years to come up with the same language.
They could
communicate with any tribe. They could speak between tribes all the way from coast to coast here. I go back there. Now, at the Tower of Babel, the languages were confused. What happened here on the day of Pentecost is they heard everyone speaking in his own language. The confusion of tongues was temporarily completely done away with. And they didn't understand it. It was a great miracle of God.
How many was it? 120
There were 120 members of the church there. And 120 of them were preaching all at the same time. And every man heard them speaking in their own specific dialect from where they came. They said, how in the world did this happen? And they were amazed and marveled in verse 7 saying, and verse 6, now living in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under the sun, and when the sound occurred, this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because they each were hearing them speak in his own specific dialect. That's what it said. They were amazed, marveled, saying, why are not all these men speaking Galileans? They're Galileans, all right, and they were going to be speaking what kind of language? The Galileans spoke what? What did everybody speak? Greek. And what else did they speak? Aramaic. They spoke either Greek or Aramaic. Everybody knew Greek. The Bible that they read from was Greek, the Hebrew Old Testament, or the Jewish Old Testament. They had translated it into Greek. How is this that we each hear one in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own specific dialects. This is the mighty power of God. So this is what happened here. We have the Shekinah glory come upon them. Momentarily, at this time, on this day only, right here, the division of the languages and the confusion of the languages is disbanded for a moment. Then they go out and they speak in other languages, and whatever area they go to, a person has the gift of languages. Now, it wasn't the gift of unknown languages, as the King James says. Okay? The unknown's not there. Different of the evangelists could go and speak to people in Africa, in Media and Persia or wherever, they could speak to them in their language and never knew it. They never had to learn it. Okay? Now let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. I hope that you've understood a little bit more about this. Turn back to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter now. Let me read to you just a little bit. The prophecies of the return of the Shekinah, which had left the temple in the city of Jerusalem in the days of Ezekiel, are repeated in Zechariah. These same prophecies are also fulfilled in historical period record of Zechariah. To better understand these prophecies, it is necessary to have an acquaintance with the history of Shekinah. Okay? Objection is made that the word Shekinah is not in Scripture. But it is a post-biblical rabbinical scholar term that was invented by them.
Is it from the Maccabees?
No. Rabbinical. Rabbis. These are the teachers. These are the doctors of the law. Okay? Rabbis. It means a physical manifestation of God's localized dwelling and nonetheless is scriptural. We have chosen to use the word Shekinah to name his presence, since this meaning in general distributes among the Christians, albeit ignorant of the origin of the word. The word is coined from verbal cognates in the Bible, which describe the presence of God in locality, in a specific place. The verbal cognates are copiously used to describe the Shekinah appearances. The word Shekinah itself is not in the biblical text, but the concept, as I have divined, the writer says, clearly is. The word most certainly is derived from Shakan. Remember Shakan? Shakan. Whoever first used the word Shekinah coined is a substantive noun form from the verbal forms used to describe the abiding dwelling or habitation of the physical manifestations of God, Exodus 24:16. Exodus 40:35 and Numbers 9:16-18 and numerous other places where Shekinah is used. See, it actually, Shekinah is in the Bible, but not the word Shekinah. The word is used to describe the mystical Shekinah presence in the tabernacle. The word Mishkan, is a derivative of Shakan. It is often translated tabernacle, Skene, over here, Skene, that's the word in Greek. The Hebrew for tabernacle is often more simply Ohel, okay? Or Mishkan,
up on top,
Mishkan, which means dwelling place, him who dwells. Shekinah is a Hebrew feminine noun, like El Shaddai. Shaddai means woman's breast. God is our all-nourisher, but He is our protector. Have you ever gone into a pen with a hen that has baby chickens? You're in trouble. It is interesting that Isaiah refers to Shekinah using feminine pronouns. Isaiah. Especially in Isaiah 51. Particularly in Isaiah 51, 9 and 10. In its context, the pronouns are feminine. In verse 10, the King James uses thou and it to refer to Shekinah. Both pronouns are feminine in Hebrew. The Qumran text makes it the feminine form, certain by adding yod to second person feminine singular. Literally, feminine, you or she, translating King James is thou or it. Without doubt, this is why the intertestament rabbis coined the word Shekinah to describe the events where the physical presence performed miracles to guide and protect Israel. All right? What did Jesus do to prove his identity as the true deity of God walking in flesh? How did he prove? How did Jesus prove that he was the Messiah? By miracles and wonders. Okay? And that, the Shekinah in the Old Testament performed miracles and wonders. Okay? This is why the coming of the Messiah and the return of the Shekinah to the Second Temple are intermixed and extraordinarily mystically mixed in Zechariah 2:8-11. Alright? I also accept that Kavod, Jehovah, Kavod, Jehovah, the glory of the Lord and Shekinah are identical in text I make reference to, he says here, such as the fire in clouding Sinai in Exodus 24:15-17, which we looked, and the dedication of Solomon's temple, and the dedication of the tabernacle, and the empowering of the church on the second in the second chapter of the book of Acts. All right? The Hebrew word shakan simply means to take up residence with a long continuity in neighborhood. Now let's think about that for a minute. As we go back and we see the Shekinah of God leaving Israel. Jesus said, unless I go away, what? I cannot be with you all. I cannot be with you. All right? But when he that is promised will come, he will be with you when? Always. All right? Does this Shekinah mean more to you now than what it did in the beginning of the class, I hope? Do you understand that the church, already the individual members were indwelt by the glory, by the Spirit of God. But what happened on the day of Pentecost was not the indwelling of the Spirit of God, but the Shekinah coming and resting on the churches. Now, by the way, the churches today, God's true New Testament churches, still have the Shekinah glory of God leading them into all truth and resting with them. And when we gather as a church, Shekinah is here. Shekinah is here. All right? Now in Ezekiel 9 and verse 3, and the glory of God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called the man clothed in linen, whose loins had a writing case, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which have been committed in this midst. These people are repentant. Mark them, because I'm going to protect them. You know what happens in the book of Revelation? God marks a certain amount of them to protect them from anything that's going to happen to them there too, doesn't it? Well, we're going to come back here next week, and we're going to take up right here, and we're going to finish up on the Shekinah glory of God. Now, do you have any questions about it? No. Nothing? Young lady, do you have any questions? No. You? You always have questions. He was quieter today. I don't know. Your presence here today with him really settled him down. It's a calming. It is a mystical calming.
My mom said the same thing.
Huh?
My mom said the same thing.
Oh, well. A mystical calming of that man. Any other questions? Linda, did you learn something today? Brother Rex, did you get something out of this?
A little bit.
Yeah, all right. How about you, young lady? Sharp. Brother Bill. All right, Joanne. Marilyn, did you hear anything here that you hadn't heard before? Over all that noise back there. All right. Are you going to come up here? All right. Thank you for your attention. Go out and do something eternal this week. Pray for my mother that is in the hospital. I didn't know whether I was going to make it today. I was having low blood sugar and all kinds of junk. My health is just having a terrible time. Dakota is home in bed sick. So remember all those things. And now you can do your little thing here.
Okay, we have a few announcements.